I think the result it reaches is not unexpected. Very few people in the world of legal ethics believed that this motion had a high degree of likely success. So I think what might be important about the order today is not just the result, but also the reasoning and how that reasoning is going to survive as people look more carefully at it.
And what is the reasoning that you're referring to?
Well, as I say, the order is complicated, so it's going to take a while for people to really dissect it. But what's not entirely clear to me from a first read is whether the judge is saying, look, because Judge Walker wasn't necessarily going to get married, he didn't have to recuse himself because there's no evidence indicating that he was planning to get married, and the fact that he's in a long-term relationship doesn't itself generate an inference that someone wants to marry. That may be a little different than another kind of reasoning, which says, look, even if he did want to get married, you know, marriage and the desire to get married is something that's shared by so many people in society that it just wouldn't be right to require people to recuse themselves when they're just sharing the same kind of interest that members of the public generally have. What if in that interview he disclosed that the day before the case was randomly assigned to him, he and his partner had tried to get married in San Francisco and been rebuffed because Prop 8 was in effect, and he tells us that now after the fact? I'm not sure what this order would say about that.
Yeah. This is sort of speculative, but, you know, do you think that if that had been the case or something, maybe not, that's fairly dramatic, but I mean something like he had said, gee, we'd like to get married someday.
Yeah. Someday is different, though, because I think, you know, recusal is the exception, not the norm. So if we're going to require judges to step aside, it has to be because not that they might benefit from the ruling, but they might benefit in some specific and imminent way. I mean, a judge who rules in favor of a corporation who might benefit from an overall rise in the stock market in the coming months doesn't have to recuse simply because he owns stocks across the board in some mutual fund or the like. So this idea of imminence, I think, has to be part of the analysis for what kind of interest would require a judge to disqualify.
He also pointed out, Judge Weir, that, you know, all of us, all Americans, have an interest in equal protection. You don't have to be a gay judge to necessarily care about that. How relevant do you think that is to the overall ruling?
Well, again, I think that's one of the aspects of the order that seems to embrace a broader line of reasoning. And I think there's much to what Judge Weir says, although I guess somebody could come back and argue that even though everyone has an interest in the institution of marriage, people who want to get married who are being denied that right have a different kind of stake, a different kind of interest in the issue than others who are already married who might want to exclude an individual from getting married. You know, straight people may claim that gay marriage affects the marriage of heterosexuals, but it certainly affects them differently than it affects the same-sex couples who themselves want to get married.
So do you see this as, you know, precedent-setting, or is it more Bush v. Gore, you know, where it just applies in this situation? What do you think?
If this does not get appealed, then it doesn't have any precedential effect anyway, because district court opinions don't bind anyone from any other court. So it might provide some interesting and helpful reasoning that can be drawn on in other cases, but in terms of laying out a new legal test or new legal rule, district judges don't have that capacity to do so in our legal system.
Okay. Anything else about this that jumps out at you or that's noteworthy?
I think, you know, one issue that kind of it permeates some of the order and this larger question is, you know, how much you want judges to have to volunteer things about their personal life, before they hear a case. In other words, a lot of people said, well, even if the judge didn't have to recuse himself, at least he should have told everybody up front. And maybe that's right. But I wonder whether we're imposing too much on judges when we require them to talk about their personal relationships or whether they have a desire to get pregnant in the case of women. It's one thing to require judges to disclose financial holdings, but there's something different about kind of intimate personal information, it seems to me.
And the judge seemed to agree with that.
There's tones of that in the order, yeah.